In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy.
find that song in the hymn books, 483. So I'd like to ask you, does anybody know where that verse is found that we sang before? It's from the Bible. So if you say the Bible, you'd be right. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Psalm 16.
Psalm 16. Have we quoted Psalm 16 yet today? Or yesterday? I'm not sure which. Not the whole thing, I know, but something from it. Anybody? Yes. Take my moments. We said, I have set the Lord always before me. That's also in Psalm 16. I have set the Lord always before me. I live before him. I am walking in his presence, in his light, and in his love. And there is joy unspeakable as I partake of his salvation, as I walk with him. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? By his presence, all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. Is that the other side of what you said last night? Belonging to him, and he is mine. I am his, and he is mine. 483, let's sing it together. So thankful for our musicians, and we would love to hear them play. But you want to do a different song? What are you signaling to me? He wants to play alone. Oh. Is that right, Brother Bob? You want to play a solo?
Solo, you can't hear me?
Before we sing, how about before we sing the last verse, the four of you? All right? Sounds so good. That'd be nice.
Truly you thrill our souls. Oh Lord Jesus.
sets the captive free. The only name through which I find salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you.
This morning we were looking at Psalm 95, and you remember that there seemed to be an abrupt change in the middle of the seventh verse. And there it said, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And I was thinking about that today a bit more. I said that it was quoted in the New Testament in Hebrews, and there were a group of people, or there was a group of people there that was a sorely tempted group. They were tempted to turn back, just as the Israelites, when they got up to the promised land, right up to the border, how they failed the Lord there. They failed to believe him and his promises. And these people were tempted to turn back also. And so the writer to the Hebrews encouraged them with this word, or exhorted them, or warned them, shall we say. I think it was a warning, not to disbelieve God, but to follow him, follow on, and enter into the rest that he had prepared for them. And today, if you will hear his voice, got to thinking about it, talking to Brother Frank a minute, and then to Sister Aletha, about how that verse found its way into Psalm 95. Apparently, the people of God in David's day needed to hear that too. That now is the time to follow the Lord with all your hearts. Now is the time to hear his call. Now is the time to respond to him in faith and obedience, joyful obedience. Glad-hearted, giving yourself to him. Don't let your heart become hardened, but rather let it be tender to the voice of the Lord. Now is the time. Now is the time to listen. In God's day, Sister Aletha said, in David's day, in Moses' day, in the Hebrews' day, in our day, God's time is now for us to respond when he speaks to us. It's always today. It's always now. And I was thinking about how precious is God's word. I guess I started to talk about that on Wednesday morning when we went through Psalm 19 just to close out the little youth conference that we had. We talked about the general revelation of God in nature, and then the special revelation of God to his people in his word, and the power of that word, and then the personal revelation as it is applied to our hearts, how we want to be forgiven and cleansed and kept from sinning and want to live pleasing to God. You saw that in Psalm 19 as you read it with me on Wednesday morning, those of you who were here. I mentioned something as I was speaking. I'm not even sure if I followed through with it because I knew I had read it just recently. I said that that word about the sun is a perfect link between the general revelation of nature in the universe that we all can see. That's why it's general. It's for all the world to see. And then the special revelation of God in His Word. It said that last phrase about the Son is such a marvelous link. And it's the last thing that's said. And it was, I had read that C.S. Lewis said that. Where's Johnny? He likes C.S. Lewis. Oh, you can tell him. C.S. Lewis is the one who said that this word about the Son is a link to the words that follow about the Word of God, where it says that nothing is hidden from the Son's heat. And that line links the witness of the physical creation to the witness of God's Word, because the Scriptures are also penetrating, aren't they? When you open your heart to God's Word and you say, "Speak to me, Lord, I'm listening for you with an open heart, with a tender heart. I want to hear from you. I want to follow on. I want to enter in. I want to believe your word, your commands, your promises. I want to receive your life. I want your correction and your nourishment. I want, Lord, your word to touch me. Reveal yourself to me in your word." Isn't his word penetrating and warming, just like the sun, and life-giving, as well as searching and testing and purifying? How wonderful is the Holy Word of God. And this morning when we read about it again today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. I thought, oh God, give me an ear, give me a heart for your call, for your word, more. In these days, I know that I'm going to hear you speaking. I pray that my heart shall be open, shall be receptive, shall be humble, that I might receive with meekness and faith this saving word. Oh Lord, touch my heart, change my life, speak to me, oh Lord. I know there's a wonderful power in this holy word. We used to sing a song, I think we even sang it here this summer at the beginning, in Sunday school. God's word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in twain. Isn't that wonderful? There's a man in our church who prays sometimes, "Oh Lord, let your word be like a hammer. Break these hard rock hearts of ours," he prays sometimes on Monday night. "Break these hard rock hearts of ours." God's word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in twain, a lamp to guide my footsteps, a light on the stormy main, a sword that has two edges, a mirror ourselves to see. Oh yes, it is the book of books. And it goes on to say, it's living seed that grows when into the heart received, like milk and meat will cause to grow those who have on Christ believed. Like water it will cleanse us, from defilement will set us free. Oh yes, this is the book of books, a book like no other book, because it is God's book. It is the revelation of God. Here we find Jesus. We read about Jesus, the lover of our souls. He becomes precious to us when we bow before Him and seek Him in His Word. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. They did, but you don't have to. You can enter in to all that has been provided for you in Jesus. So I was thankful that we heard that again this morning. And I spoke about, at the end of the meeting this morning, about coming, and as Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, I will give you rest." You're heavy laden. You have a heavy load, and I want to unload you. I want to lift that load from off your back and give you rest. And then he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I mentioned that that was the yoke of the disciple. The disciple who takes the teaching of his master, of his teacher, he's the follower, right? The follower, the learner. But the goal there, as the disciple who takes the yoke and says, yes, I want you to be my master, my teacher, I come under your teaching and your discipline, the goal is to become more and more like the teacher, like the master. Isn't that what Jesus says right there in that verse? I am meek and lowly in heart. God wants people to be meek and lowly in heart, like his son. And so, I remember reading in a book, actually it's the title of one of the chapters in Alexander White's book about Jesus. It says, our Lord's favorite graces, meekness and lowliness of heart. His favorite graces, and he would like us to learn them from him. And take that yoke. It's an easy yoke and a light burden. He lifted a heavy burden. All that sin, we were so bound to serving sin and serving self. And now we can be free to serve him and learn his ways and become more and more like him as we let him do his work in us. So his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And Sister Tessie was playing earlier and it brought to mind, so I just had to say this. Tonight felt that she played that, and perhaps it was to remind me of what we said this morning, that God's Word works in such a precious and holy and deep way in the heart that will receive it. Lord, those words of yours are spirit and life to me, life-giving, life-changing word, precious word, meant to change me and to make me more like Jesus, more like he is, meek and lowly in heart. So the heavy burden of sin is lifted, but he says, now take this yoke upon you and learn of me. I know I've done this already this season too, but this is Pilgrim Camp. And so it's important for us to know. One of our textbooks is Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And we talk about the burden, you know, that was on his back. And as he read in the scripture, that burden became so heavy, so he became so aware of it, and he needed to get rid of it, right? And there was one place where that burden could be lifted. I think we all know that that was the cross. And so it says here in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, now I saw in my dream that the highway which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall, and that wall was called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came at a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom a sepulchre. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed from off his shoulders and fell from off his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in. And I saw it no more. Then was Christian glad and lightsome, and said with a merry heart, he hath given me rest by his sorrow, and life by his death. Then he stood still a while to look and wonder, for it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should thus ease him of his burden. He looked, therefore, and looked again, even till the springs that were in his head sent the waters down his cheeks. Now as he stood looking and weeping, behold, three shining ones came to him and saluted him with, peace be to thee. So the first said to him, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." The second stripped him of his rags and clothed him with change of raiment. The third also set a mark on his forehead and gave him a roll with a seal upon it, which he bid him look on as he ran, and that he should give it in at the celestial gate. So they went their way. Then Christian gave three leaps for joy and went on singing, "Thus far did I come laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me." Amen. So there the burden was gone, the burden, the heavy burden of sin. And Christian had a long way to go yet on his pilgrim journey, as you and I do also, till we reach the celestial city. And all the way along, the Lord taught him lessons. He did what Jesus said. He took that yoke upon him. He learned what the Master wanted to teach him. Meekness and lowliness. He found rest for his soul. And so we are called to do as well. It's one of my favorite scripture passages. "My yoke is easy," says Jesus, "and my burden is light." And as wonderful as it is, of course, that's the beginning. You can't take the other burden without getting rid of the first. But that's really not the whole story. You have to take that second burden, that burden that he lays upon you in order to find true, lasting, eternal rest for your soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's a great blessing to be here together with you and to be able to look into the Word of God. Let's sing. Sister Tessie was playing "Living for Jesus." A life that is true. I think that's in the camp songbooks, those white books that you have there. You have the number for me?
909. 90,
thank you. Let's stand as we sing.
Living for Jesus, a life that
Once more, O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to to Brother Philip this afternoon for quite a while, and he told me something that I thought was very wonderful. I don't remember being here when he had asked for prayer for a dying man. Was that during the fourth period? Well, that man died. He said that he had a chance on Saturday. I know they left early on Saturday, didn't they? And Matt had the table worship, I think, and Phil and his parents went early. He said he went out to Peninsula Hospital, I think it was, in Far Rockaway, and visited this man. And he could still... He had an oxygen mask on, and he was very, very sick. I guess very close to the end of his life. I think he died Monday or Tuesday. But Phil had a chance to read with him and pray with him, and he felt that he opened his heart to the Lord. And it was a very precious experience that he had, and he said he was able to... testify to that this morning at the funeral service. There was another minister that had the funeral, and Phil said he so greatly rejoiced in the way that brother brought the gospel to the people that were there. He had a way, Phil said, of really bringing it across. But he also had a chance to share about how this man opened his heart to the Lord on Saturday, or how he felt that that the Lord came to him. And now this evening they have another funeral service. The folks from Williamsburg do, plus also a vacation Bible school session. And I told him we were going to be praying for him, and we have been. But let's remember them now. Lord, we... just thank you for helping Brother Phil as he went to this bedside to minister to this man who was in such desperate need, and that he heard and responded to you. We thank you for that, Lord, and thank you also for the message of the gospel that went through this other brother this morning, this minister that had the funeral service. Lord, thank you for the many who heard the gospel go forth in clarity under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray for those who responded, and for those who perhaps didn't yet respond, Lord. Those who when the call was given, bless them, Lord. Bless those who responded to you this morning. And work in their hearts. Work on in their hearts, Lord. We just praise you that you are a God who wants to save. And so many who were deep in sin were there this morning, Lord, and heard the message of salvation. Oh, God, touch their hearts. Touch their lives. Bring conviction. Bring light into their darkness. Draw them with those cords of love unto yourself. I pray that you'll bless in the vacation Bible school session. Lord, they're
Williamsburg this evening as children come out to your house and hear the presentation of your message of this glorious gospel. I pray that you will touch their hearts. Pray that your word shall be a seed that falls on the good ground of prepared hearts, Lord. Let your spirit move in these days at this Vacation Bible School. We pray together, Lord, and we just ask you to work in the hearts of these who you bring out to your house. We pray also that you'll bless in our church in Ridgewood tonight as they're gathered together for their meeting. Bless Brother Kenny Friedman, who's helping there and ministering there. Lay your hand upon him. Give him the faith and the anointing, we pray, that you have for him. I pray that you'll bless him and all who gather there this evening. Strengthen your people. Lord, bless them. Work in their hearts, Lord. Come to our church there. We thank you, Lord. We can trust you to move in all of our home churches. We pray for them. We pray that you'll bless them over this weekend as they gather to worship you and your word goes forth. We just pray that your name shall be glorified in these places, and we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.